It's Monday, January 5th, and here's some of the news beyond the headlines. Italian police estimate human traffickers made some $3 million from hundreds of illegal migrants they abandoned on a cargo ship in the Mediterranean Sea. On Friday, an Icelandic Coast Guard vessel towed the Ezzedine into the port of Corigliano Calabro. Locked inside the hold of the ship were 359 migrants who had gone 5 days without food or water. Officials believe the migrants, most of whom are Syrian, paid smugglers between $4,000 and $8,000 each to board the ship from Turkey. The incident marks the second time in a week European authorities have rescued an abandoned ship with illegal migrants stowed aboard. There's no limit to what a father would do for his child, and no setting like civil war to illustrate that. A Syrian man used plastic soda bottles to create a prosthetic leg for his young daughter. The girl and her father were wounded when a missile landed near their home on the outskirts of Damascus. The man's injuries forced him out of work, and his daughter walked around with the makeshift prosthetic for months before the family could get a boot made for her. And though they've kept their daughter mobile, the parents, like others across Syria, are having more trouble keeping their child fed. A new law has made California the 10th state to give driver's licenses to people who aren't legal citizens. There are nearly 2.5 million undocumented immigrants living in California. To apply, individuals have to provide proof of identity in either bills or rent statements to prove that they're California residents. To receive their licenses, applicants also need to pass written and vision exams, submit a thumbprint, and take a formal driving test. The DMV has hired 900 additional employees to prepare for the overwhelming number of requests. On Friday, the legislation went into effect, and an estimated 11,000 people applied. Hong Kong's protesters may have left the streets, but one of the city's guest houses is keeping the revolution alive. For about 13 bucks a night, the guests of this small motel can sleep in tents taken from actual protest sites. The building is decorated with various items collected from the month-long demonstrations that ended in December. Following a government crackdown, public support for the movement dwindled. But in this little slice of the city, if only symbolic, the hope for democracy remains. Check out the Vice News YouTube channel for more original reporting and documentaries from around the world.
This is a view that we've been waiting for 2,000 years. So when people tell me that you're living in occupied land, I point to this mountain of history and I ask them, could it be that I'm occupying the ancestral burial grounds of my people? Well, what do you want us to do, pack up our bags and leave? That's not a solution for us.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com Strategy 1 to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
I have a testimony about how wonderful heart drops are. I ended up at Mayo Clinic, just had an awful time with angina and related problems to my heart problem. I remembered that I'd run out of heart drops and had reordered. And when I started taking them again, all these problems went away. And I just want to say how great these heart drops are. I'd recommend them to anyone.
Like, I had my last heart attack in August, and I was having some form of angina pain pretty well every day. And then since I started taking it, I haven't had any angina pain at all. You know, I'm satisfied.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
DetoxUSA.org introduces three brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Good evening. Welcome to the Bob Tuscan Show. Tonight's special guest is Joshua Blakeney. He'll join us for the hour. We'll talk about Ottawa false flags, Zionist control of Canada and Japan. Of course, that's all related to the World War II revisionism project. And he's working on a number of new things, including a new website with Brandon Martinez, nonalignedmedia.com. Check it out. And without further ado, let's bring Joshua on the show. What's up, Josh? How are you, man?
Hi, Bob. It's been such a long time since I last spoke with you, so I'm very enthused about the coming hour.
I am as well. Let's just get right into it, man. What you been up to?
Yeah, I've been keeping myself out of trouble, or in trouble, depending how you look at it.
Yeah.
Since 2010, I've been Press TV's Canadian correspondent. Press TV's the Iranian English language service. And,
sure.
After I was demonized in the Zionist media for having the temerity to question the official interpretation of 9/11, I made a lot of friends, and one of those friends I made was Press TV, and a lady named Sohelia began contacting me at that time and inviting me to contribute to Press TV news bulletins. And we began having the discussion, well, do you have a reporter in Canada? You know, I noticed you have reporters in Tokyo and London and Paris, but not one in Canada. So they took me on as their Canadian correspondent. And so that's been kind of one of my main roles. And I have submitted dozens of packages, reports to them, you know, full reports reporting from my town of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And it just happened to coincide with the rise of Zionist power in Canada prior to 2011. Canada's most ardent Zionists, Canada's neoconservatives, were to some extent fettered in the Canadian Parliament because they were only able to form minority governments. So all the members of Parliament of the opposition parties outnumbered Canada's Conservative Party, which meant that to some extent they were obliged to compromise when seeking to implement Zionist or pro-Zionist pieces of legislation. But in 2011, Canada suffered from quite heinous election fraud. People from demographic groups which tend not to vote conservative in Canadian elections received an automated message saying your polling booth location has changed, and so when you go to cast your vote, don't go here, go to this new location. And people turned up there, and lo and behold, they were unable to cast their ballots. And this enabled Canada's ruling neoconservatives to, in a sense, seize the majority of seats in Canada's parliament. And they set to work straight away enacting what they call omnibus bills. And so it's been the parliamentary tradition when you're trying to amend laws or enact new laws to discuss that one specific issue. So if you want to change the laws to gun legislation or change the legislation to do with Canada's rivers and the environment. You debate that one issue, but what Canada's government did, they began under Stephen Harper, they began enacting omnibus bills, which contained like 70 legislative changes in the one bill, and then they'd ram it through Parliament, you know, at the 11th hour, you know, Christmas Eve or whatever, when no one was looking. And so that's what they were doing straight away, having finally, after decades of trying to dislodge the Liberal Party of Canada, which was, you know, often referred to as the natural governing party of Canada. They succeeded not only in getting a majority government, but have now are now changing. And I'm calling Canada's government a sort of de facto client regime of Israel now. I'm not sure, you know, how often people in the States are scrutinizing the happenings here in Canada. But basically, Canada's government is, it seems, subservient to Israel and can never say no to Israel. And that has changed the center of gravity in this country and has led to all the political parties now kowtowing to Zionists. And this is radically, radically changing Canada. And in a sense, that reared a head that came to a pulse on October 22nd when we had this perceived false flag incident, an allegedly newly converted Islamic, you know, so you keep getting this phrase, newly converted Muslim, right? So people like convert to Islam and then the next day decide to go and engage in terrorism. And that's what we were told.
That's a quick turnaround, huh?
Yeah, because of course Islam is so crazy and irrational. Why wouldn't you go and engage in
instantly
terrorism?
Instant terrorism.
Yeah, welcome to Islam. Pick your target. So we were on 2 days prior to October 22nd, and it was claimed that you know, a white guy from Quebec who had just converted to Islam ran over two Canadian soldiers in what the authorities characterized as a terrorist attack. And then the big event happened on October 22nd when there was a shooting at Canada's War Memorial. So in a kind of almost a cinematographical way, we were given this, you know, story of the Canadian heroic soldier standing at the War Memorial, which is a symbol of all these just wars that Canada has fought in the past. And then a crazy Muslim came along who's loyal to ISIS and shot this Canadian soldier. And now that on October 22nd, it should be noted, that was the very day that Canadian F-16s were beginning to bombard the people of Iraq with bombs. In 2003, because Canada's ruling neoconservatives weren't in power, Canada didn't go to war against the people of Iraq. And Canada's Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, said he was ashamed to be a Canadian when Canada didn't join the US and Britain in attacking the people of Iraq in 2003. So just a week or two prior to the perceived false flag of October 22nd, it was decided that it was necessary to send Canadian planes on sorties in the direction of Iraq. And so just as the day that Canada's planes were beginning to bomb Iraq, we have this ISIS-inspired terrorist attack, which of course the Canadian government portrayed as a vindication of their foreign policy. Instantaneously after the event, we had a former member of CSIS appear on Canada's public broadcaster and say he thought it was necessary to strengthen Canada's so-called hate speech laws. You know, much of your listenership will be aware that outside the US, in most Western countries, there are laws which in practice prevent people from criticizing Jews. And if you voice criticism of Jews too zealously, you'll end up in jail. And so Canada, obviously, many people will be aware of the Ernst Zundel imbroglio and the fact that many people in Canada have been given lifetime speech bans, lifetime internet bans, and thrown in jail for questioning Jewish historical narratives and for abandoning Jewish exceptionalism, which is a kind of, so in a sense, we have state-enforced philo-Semitism.
Yeah, and to America's credit, we have yet to bring forth such serious repercussions for questioning. Otherwise, I would have been thrown in jail a long time ago. And I come from a Jewish family. We had on the revisionist David Cole when he came back out of the closet, so to speak. And, you know, we very much have been focused on those issues where we have people just talking about history. You know, this is as crazy as it gets. And they're put in jail, like Ernst Zundel and others, for their perspectives, for their offering of truth, if you will.
Yes, Indeed. And, you know, anyone, you know, you do have liberals who say, oh, these laws, they exist to prevent bigotry towards vulnerable minorities and they're necessary. Well, anyone who says that just has to ask, why did a member of CSIS, Canada's intelligence agency, say immediately, on the one hand, yes, we need all these foreign policies, these war on terror-esque foreign policies, and on the other, oh, we need to strengthen Canada's hate speech laws. It shows right. that Canada's hate speech laws are merely weapons of stifling freedom of speech.
They most certainly are. And you have to ask yourself, what's the difference between a hate crime and a regular crime? It's the same thing. A crime is a crime is a crime. Josh, we got to take a quick break here in just a second, and we'll come back and continue this discussion. Joshua Blakeney, our special guest on tonight's Bob Tuscan Show.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
Whew.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. Send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race.
All right, welcome back to the Bob Tuscan Show. Our guest, Joshua Blakeney. Josh, go ahead and pick up where you left off.
Yes, so as I intimated prior to the break, Canada's ruling neoconservatives and members of the authority are the beneficiaries of the false flag, who are the ones who are investigating it. So we have this great conflict of interest. They propose enacting laws in the wake of the incident, which would allow them to arrest and to criminalize people for their speech. Not only were hate speech laws said to be strengthened, anti-bullying legislation was enacted on the day of the perceived false flag. People in the U.S. should look out for this, because that's the backdoor way of getting these hate speech type laws enacted. And a key component of those anti-bullying laws is that you can't insult somebody online based on their nationality. So you can imagine...
You stupid Brit. I mean, go ahead.
We don't all have bad teeth. Just most of us. But no, the point is that bullying, so quote-unquote bullying someone based on their nationality is illegal under these laws. So you can imagine an Israeli going to the authorities saying, Bob Tuskin said, all my family and I are Palestinian killing exploiters. Can you arrest him and lock him up and throw away the key on anti-bullying laws? So I think people in the States should watch out for that in their respective jurisdictions, that instead of enacting hate speech laws, which are sort of obviously antithetical to the spirit of the U.S. Constitution, that instead that they're acting, they may enact these anti-bullying laws instead. And additionally, we've had legislation proposed which makes it illegal to engage in what the state characterizes as condoning or glorifying terrorism in online statements. Now, the Canadian government, if you go to their website, lists almost every Palestinian faction and anybody who in any way resists Israel in the Middle East as a terrorist organization or as people who engage in terrorism. So now you're going to have a scenario next time Israel decides to kill 1,000 or so Palestinians, and many Canadians rightly become very angered with that phenomenon. People who criticize Israel too zealously and who lend verbal support to the Palestinians, who under international law are obliged to resist illegal occupation, will be thrown in jail. So the people who express sentiments in online statement which the authorities are able to characterize as glorifying terrorism may very well find themselves being criminalized. So, the war on terror, as we know, since the 9/11 false flag, has had sort of two main currents. One has been the wars abroad, the fact that obviously the Zionists want to destabilize and weaken the Middle East and weaken any country which may pose a counter-hegemonic threat to Israeli hegemonic interests in the Middle East, and concurrently a domestic sort of crackdown on civil liberties as embodied, for example, in the Patriot Act and so on. And so Canada's, quote-unquote, Canada's 9/11 has, as one would expect, led to such outgrowths. Canada's now attacking the people of Iraq under the guise of a war against ISIS, and the Canadian government is enacting a raft of legislation and changing Canada radically, which will allow the state to arrest people merely because of their viewpoints, which are dissentient against the global war on terror.
And you came into this with a focus on the war on terror. And you studied this. You actually were a PhD candidate or got your PhD. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I went to the University of Lethbridge in southern Alberta. And at that university is a professor named Anthony Hall. And basically, to cut a long story short, he was beginning to teach 9/11 truth in the classroom. He had, when I met him actually in 2007, he was beginning to think through this whole issue of false flag terrorism, and he and I collaborated extensively and worked together and thought through these complex issues together, bounced ideas off each other and so on. Once my sociology degree culminated in 2010, he said, why don't you try and do an MA thesis, graduate studies on 9/11? So I was an MA candidate, not a PhD candidate. And I then woke up one day and I had an email saying, congratulations, you've been awarded the Queen Elizabeth II Graduate Scholarship. So Her Majesty was, in a sense, lending her imprimatur to 9/11 skepticism.
Go figure.
It's kind of poetic.
Yeah.
And of course, the establishment, the Zionist establishment, which dominates Canada, was unable to tolerate this. It was anathema for them. And so they began doing hit jobs in the Canadian mainstream media and began attacking my university. I even had a former Mossad agent named Michael Ross contact the dean of my graduate school. And they kicked up a fuss saying, why is taxpayer money being used to fuel conspiracy theories on campus? And so, as I say, that made me a sort of a national name. It made my graduate research nationally renowned to some extent. And that led Press TV to contact me. And I've sort of really, I've segued into that now. And I'm really enjoying contributing to Press TV. You mentioned the website that Brandon Martinez and I recently founded, nonalignedmedia.com. And most of my interviews and my contributions to Press TV are posted on there. I also recently visited Japan. I've obviously, once you get into 9/11, it dovetails nicely with getting into World War II revisionism, doesn't it? And I'm very interested in interpreting certain aspects of history revisionistically. And I don't speak German. I haven't been to Germany for a long time. But I do speak Japanese. Actually, I took a lot of Japanese classes at university, and I had an interest in the Japanese language prior to going to university. And I've been to Japan several times since I first went there when I was 19. So I recently went to Tokyo in September of 2014, and I visited the archives, and I pulled out 28 publications written during the 1930s and into the 1940s from a pro-Japanese perspective. So I'm currently working tirelessly transcribing and writing up these documents with the intention of publishing them as a book, so members of the public will be able to hear what the Japanese were saying at the time. So just as I think it's important contemporarily for people to go to Press TV and go to Rush Today to hear the Iranian and the Russian perspectives on geopolitics, I think it's equally important that for people to realize that Japan at the time had their own Russia Today, had their own Press TV. They had, English language publications in which they sought to deter war. And, you know, so this is relevant, obviously, to Pearl Harbor researchers. And I think that, you know, basically we, at the back of all this, we have to remember that the neoconservatives did cite the need for a new Pearl Harbor as a prelude to the new
right.
Pearl Harbor.
Project for New American 9/11. Century. That's exactly right. And, of course, there was many of pieces of the puzzle to point to, at the very least, Pearl Harbor being allowed to take place. And, of course, the dropping of the two bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were, in my mind, undoubtedly a act of sacrifice, of human sacrifice. These were civilian areas, and we could go on and on about that. And we will in just a minute, Josh. We're coming up to another quick break. So we'll pick it right back up in Japan. I appreciate this discussion tonight because I think we're covering a lot of ground, a lot of history that the lamestream is preventing, and therefore, well, hey, we're obligated to talk about it. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's the Bob Tuscan Show. Another quick break, and we'll be back with Joshua Blakeney.
Important is the air you breathe. Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aran. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aran process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com. www.thebobtuscanshow.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER20. 2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Through their ministries of propaganda, each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right.
Yeah, I'll say.
It's the future.
All right, let's jump right back into it with Joshua Blakeney, our special guest tonight on the Bob Tuscan Show. Josh, where would you like to go next? We were talking a little bit about Japan, and you speak Japanese fluently or conversationally? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, not fluently. The hard thing with Japan is the writing systems they have, and you know, they have hiragana and katakana, which I have mastered, but then they have kanji, which are the characters that were largely inherited from China. So, you know, you've seen it on Chinese restaurants and so on, that very complicated pictorial diagrams that represent a word. And so if you want to master reading and writing Japanese, you literally have to study for like decades. So I focused on honing my oral skills in Japanese, and they're not too bad. They're enough to go there and talk to people at the National Diet Library in Tokyo and have a conversation about copyright issues and all that, like I did. So I retrieved some really interesting documents from the National Diet Library. I actually got into this. I became fascinated by a World War II era journalist named Ralph Townsend from the United States, and he had been a U.S. Working at the different U.S. embassies in Shanghai and in Tokyo, and so he basically was familiar with what was happening in Asia, and he argued in his in his editorials in the U.S. context, that America should be siding with Japan in the 1930s and not with Chiang Kai-shek in China. And he accurately predicted that the end result of the U.S.'s anti-Japanism in the epoch would be the coming to fruition of communism in Asia, which he rightly predicted would kill far more people than the Japanese would in their attempt to create what the Japanese refer to as the Greater East Asia Co-Prosperity Sphere. So the Japanese were basically attempting to encourage anti-colonial movements in Asia at the time, and were as such running up against the interests of the British Empire, the Dutch, the French to some extent, although less so, and of course the Soviet Union, and Japan in 1904 and 1905 had vanquished Russia and had been the first sort of like non-white power to defeat a white imperialist power, which sort of had inspired many, many people throughout the world who were seeking to decolonize and were, you know, often thinking of themselves perhaps as in some way incompetent or inferior. And then along came this non-white country, Japan, and they defeated Russia in 1904, 1905. So Japan, you know, they had this attitude that as the country which was most developed in Asia, that they should take it upon themselves to inoculate Asia from not only the British Empire, which they were aware was, you know, despoiling India and plundering India, but also against the increasingly expansionist Bolshevik regime. And so that's why they were very keen on building Manchuria up as a bulwark of anti-communism. And so the U.S., you know, there was a debate in the U.S. Was the U.S. going to just, you know, allow Japan to do this? You know, Japan was anti-communist. The U.S. was nominally anti-communist too. Or was the U.S. going to be led into war with Japan by crypto-communists in the FDR regime who wanted communism to spread to Asia? And if you actually look who was involved with both the Chinese communists and Chiang Kai-shek's administration, there were a lot of, like, Jewish people who were very partisan to the Soviet Union, who were aiding and abetting those forces who were fighting Japan. And so there is, you know, Japan had a lot of collaboration from indigenous peoples like Sukarno in Indonesia, or Suharto, rather, in Indonesia, and Subhas Chandra Bose Subhas Chandra Bose in India, and
will you say Sukarno, that five times fast?
Yeah, and Sukarno, sorry, in Indonesia, you know, there were, like, I pulled out documents from the archives which have testimonials from people in the Philippines, people in Burma, saying, "Look, Japan is like a force for good. Japan is not an invader. Japan is a liberator." Ralph Townsend was someone who was writing pro-Japanese arguments along with people like David Warren Ryder, and FDR himself signed an arrest warrant for these journalists, and they were incarcerated during the war in America for basically critiquing the U.S.'s foreign policy in Asia. And so this is the sort of whole, the sort of backdrop to Pearl Harbor. I think a lot of people have found it difficult to educate themselves on, because obviously a lot of the dissentient interpretations of that historical period are in the Asiatic languages. And so I thought, you know, whereas many revisionists focus on Europe and upon what happened in Europe and upon perhaps trying to exonerate Germany to some extent and the European Axis powers, I thought that I might be able to use, you know, my basic skills to revisionistically interpret the Asian theater from that epoch, and so that's what I'm currently focusing on in my research.
Fascinating. The people of Japan, do they see through the lies? I mean, they've been essentially without a military as a result of World War II, and under the guise of protection from any further attacks from them. Obviously that's not the case, but do the Japanese people see what really happened now so many years later with World War II? Do they understand that Hiroshima, that was a Freudian slip,
yeah.
Hiroshima and Nagasaki are what they were?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd find it hard to find someone who supports the or supported the U.S. Nuking Japan. I mean, I think the Japanese realize they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, and I think there are revisionists in Japan who say that's why we had to prevent communism coming to Asia, because now you have a communist China, a communist North Korea. North Korea tests, you know, I know we all have a certain amount of sympathy for North Korea and for China as underdogs relative to, you know, the globally hegemonic Zionist American Empire, but still, you know, communism isn't a natural phenomenon to bring to Asia, a natural ideology for Asians to embrace. And the Pan-Asianists, if you like, I've been reading a lot of the Pan-Asianist literature, people like Okawa Shume, who was criminalized at the Tokyo trials. You know, they argued for like a Pan-Confucianist, Pan-Buddhist, Pan-Asianist dispensation in that region, which would have been far more kind of organic for the people of that region. So Japanese people realize now, I think they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, in that they, you know, that they need the U.S. to some extent to inoculate them from China. You know, because there is this strong anti-Japanism that has resulted from a certain interpretation of World War II. I mean, this is one of the things with revisionism. Basically, the Chinese government, the Russian government, which recently enacted anti-Holocaust revisionist laws, the whole of the EU, Britain, America, Canada, Australia, all these countries' governments think that questioning the victor's history of World War II ought to be a criminal offense. And interestingly, Japan and Iran are the only two, you know, significant countries where the governments condone revisionism. And this, I think that it is necessary to have a more nuanced analysis of Shinzo Abe and the Japanese right, because the thing is, the militarism there, or the proposed militarization of Japan, it's a double-edged sword. Yes, Japan could end up going in the direction that once peaceful Canada has gone in, where you have a militarized Canada now fighting wars for the U.S. and Israel, and, you know, being zealously involved in NATO, leading the NATO mission to overthrow Gaddafi and all that. And Japan could end up doing that, which would be lamentable and would have regressed Japan from the status quo. On the other hand, how can Japan be anything other than a U.S. colony, a de facto colony of the U.S., if it never militarizes? Is the plan of liberals and leftists that Japan should perennially have no military and therefore be reliant upon the U.S. to prevent Chinese and Korean zealots from exacting revenge upon Japan?
Could Fukushima have been a manufactured event striking back at the Japanese?
Yeah, there are those who have argued this. There's a mainstream journalist whose name I have currently forgotten. What's his name? Former mainstream sort of editor, I think, editor of one of the Japanese mainstream newspapers, who has written a piece saying that Fukushima was to do with, apparently, Abe, he said, was going between the Russians and the Americans and trying to play them off against each other in pursuit of a nuclear weapon. And that involved Israel delivering something to Fukushima.
A question that deserves to be asked, and I won't make any conclusions here, but it's worth looking into, like so many other things that the lamestream media tells us that most people take for granted. Josh, we got to take our last break of the night, and we'll come back and we'll wrap things up. Maybe we'll take a couple phone calls to 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Your money. What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? by buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER20. 2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Seems the louder we're singing, the less they're hearing. Babylon got them so mindless they can't see Armageddon is nearing. I try to shake them, to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside me my spirit is weeping.
Well, Josh, we're going to have you on from time to time to talk about a number of different things. You'll be our Canadian Press TV correspondent. How do you like that? You already do that. Oh, well.
Well, I can be the Bob Tuskin correspondent from Canada, and I particularly enjoy your music, so that makes me all the more happier to come back
on. Yeah, man. I appreciate that. We try to take it easy, and at the same time, as we're exposing these various elements of evil in the world today, and there certainly is a Zionist element of evil, for lack of a better description, we still want to focus on solutions. So let's talk about solutions for a bit. What are some ways in which we can combat the powers that shouldn't be that are trying to continue their geopolitical wars against the human beings of all of these countries like Iran and others, and even here domestically now when we see this push to demonize people domestically and crack down on our rights.
Well, in a way, being truthers, quote-unquote, our job is easy because we don't have to lie or defend lies or give legs to lies. We are able, in a sense, to do the easy job of subjecting the statements of officialdom to scrutiny and to the facts. And when you do so, invariably, you're able to demystify many of the public mythology which the state and the Zionists and others who benefit from the status quo have disseminated. So continuing to do what we do and trying to, you know, mold our lives in a way which enables us to sustain this. I recently heard Kevin Barrett in an interview say this, that, you know, he's seen a lot of people who figure out 9/11 was an inside job, and then they'll go for 3 months and shout in their town square through a bullhorn that 9/11 was an inside job, and then they'll disappear from the horizon.
Well, I did the first part of that, and I still do from time to time, but I have not disappeared. But I know exactly what you mean. People get burnt out rather quickly.
Indeed, yeah. So finding a way to have longevity and to sustain this is key. You know, it's no use if we do this and then suddenly fall by the wayside and let those who are trying to control us win. So yeah, shaping one's life in a way where you can do this. You know, I, for example, have a radio show, but I only do one show every 3 weeks because I realized, number one, I want to do radio shows where I can do quite a bit of research about the guest and read the writings of the guest in order to enhance the quality of the show. But also that, you know, I have other commitments in life, and so, by doing one show every three weeks, I'm able to sustain it, in the long term. And, you know, I have other projects I'm working on, such as this Japan project, which I'm finding very interesting. Just the name I wasn't able to find. It was Yoichi Shimatsu who published an article alleging there was...
Oh, yeah, Yoichi Shimatsu.
Yeah, secret U.S.-Israeli nuke transfer has led to Fukushima blast, was the article which I was referencing. And so, yes, the whole Fukushima issue is germane, but of course... One thing that should be noted is that in Japan, this hasn't been covered up, at least the fact that there's this this threat of nuclear emissions and so on, hasn't been covered up to the extent that it would have been had it arisen in the U.S. context. If that had arisen in the West, you know, our media would have called conspiracy theorists anybody who said that anything other than everything was fine. In Japan, for example, every time I come back to the apartment, I came back to the apartments where I was staying recently, there was the daily Geiger counter reading, and they were talking about sweeping the topsoil off in the area and so on to try and remove nuclear radioactive material. So it's not as covered as one would imagine, but yeah, certainly. And you know, Japan has this quagmire. I mean, you know, this is why one of the reasons why they sought to create a trading sphere in Asia is that Japan lacks the necessary resources that it needs for such a populous archipelago, you know. And the fact is the nuclear power plants were providing a percentage of their energy, and now they've closed down most of the nuclear power plants in the wake of Fukushima. You can really sense that there's a dearth of energy in that country. You know, if you're in hotels and things, there'll be signs saying, please remember to turn off the lights when you leave the room and all that, because Japanese people in Japan are lacking in electricity. It's extremely hot there in the summer, and people therefore need air conditioners. And I know that there's attempts to regulate the amount of time people have their air conditioners on in the day and stuff. So when you go back and look what the Japanese government were proposing in the 1930s, and you look at, for example, how many people died under Maoism in China and how many people died in the Vietnam War, of course, that wouldn't have happened if Japan had succeeded in erecting a greater East Asia co-prosperity sphere. And then you look at the contemporary sort of quagmire that Japan's in geopolitically and economically and so on, you come to the conclusion that what Pan-Asianists were proposing was not that that outlandish within the context. And you also have to understand what Japan did in that era within the context of the reality that the British were already in Asia and meddling. that the Americans were already in Asia. Of course, they had seized the Philippines after the Spanish-American War in 1898, that the French controlled what they called Indochina, that the Dutch controlled what became Indonesia, you know, that the European powers in America and, of course, the Soviet Union was expansionist and had coveted, the Russians had coveted Asia historically. And when you view it within that context, you know, Japan looks like Iran does today as a country which has emerged and developed and is posing a counter-hegemonic threat to the morally indefensible hegemons who rule the respective regions. Japan emerged as you know, to undermine hegemony in the middle in Asia, and Iran is undermining U.S. Zionist hegemony in the Middle East. And I think that in order to understand the contemporary geopolitical state of affairs, it's necessary to delve into the past and to reinterpret history and to allow for a certain amount of historical clarity so we can better propose normative solutions to contemporary geopolitical questions.
Awesome stuff. Tell me a little bit more about, before we let you go, and I don't think we'll have any more time for callers today, so I apologize to those who tried to get through. But tell me a little bit more about this new website that you've set up. What is it, No-Aligned Media?
Non-Aligned Media. Yeah, so it's really interesting, actually, because I just read a very interesting book on Pan-Asianism, and in the final chapter, the author, that book was by Professor Kamel Ayedin, who's a professor in North Carolina, and he argues that actually Japan was inadvertently the founder of the non-aligned movement, that, you know, in the 1950s, indigenous peoples from the colonized world assembled in Bandung in Indonesia and decided to found the non-aligned movement. And so we decided to use the meme of non-aligned media, and actually Iran is currently the chair of the non-aligned movement, to found non-aligned media, which, you know, in its epoch when it was founded, existed as a repudiation or a rejection of the false dichotomy that was being offered to the colonized world of U.S.-style capitalism and Soviet-style communism. Many indigenous people said, well, why do we have to choose between, in the Cold War context, between being a colony of the U.S. or a colony of the Soviet Union? Can't we cherry-pick the best of both systems and have self-determination? And I think, you know, parity and equality between states is imperative if we're going to overcome the, you know, the idea that of a new world order, of a Zionist new world order, which dictates to all countries in the world their domestic policies and their foreign policies. And so the ideology of the non-aligned movement was attractive to Brandon and I, so we sought to use the meme of non-aligned media as the title of our new website, which is nonalignedmedia.com.
Awesome, I dig it. And your radio show, when does that air?
My radio show, so Professor James Fetzer has the Real Deal radio show, and actually I broadcast on the same platform as he does. I actually kind of share that show.
Oh,
with
great.
Professor. Yeah, yeah. So I know that he had committed to doing like three shows a week, and I wanted to do one show every 3 weeks. So I said, why don't I take on one of your shows every 3 weeks, and in order to, you know, lift a little bit of weight off your shoulders. And, you know, he was very enthusiastic about that. So, yeah, so my show can be found and archived at the Real Deal blog, Fetzer Radio. If someone just Googles Fetzer Radio, if people Google Fetzer Radio, they should be able to find the archive, which contains both Professor Fetzer's shows and my shows.
Great. Josh, thanks so much for coming on. We'll have to do it again.
The pleasure's been mine. Thanks for inviting me on.
Take care.
We're gonna chase those crazy ballheads out of town. Chase those crazy ballheads out of our town.
This has been another edition of the Bob Tuscan Show. Activism in action. Now go plant some seeds. With financial.